Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the Viewpoints podcast series here on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel with my colleague Burkhard Varnholt. With many eyes on the new tariff announcements next week, President Trump has called the announcement date Liberation Day. Companies, stocks, commodities have been moving fast to preempt their impact. Meanwhile, and despite all the troubled waters in the world, oil looks like a calming influence. So there is a lot of ground to cover, and I would like to focus on some of the most crucial components. So, Burkhard, why don't we start with the elephant in the room, that, of course, being tariffs, trade, and the markets?
Sure. Well, thank you, Dan. You're absolutely right. These are all critical matters. Let me start with an anecdote, because I was speaking to the CEO of a big global logistics company. He was telling me vividly how his company has just been swamped with a surge in air freight lately. So I asked him why, and he said, it's like during the pandemic. He said, back then, those just-in-time supply chains went out, and just-in-case supply chains went back in. Now it's just before tariff supply chains. He said even heavy-duty goods like, you know, big Harley-Davidson bikes and things like that are being flown rather than shipped, who would have thought so, from the U.S. to Europe. Why? To avoid tariffs. So just before tariffs is the new just-in-time. Meanwhile, U.S. trade imports have jumped sharply since October last year to $3.5 trillion year-on-year. Other examples like U.S. carmaker Ford stockpiling Canadian-made engines and temporarily leaves warehouses in Michigan and Ohio. Aluminium is being rerouted from Canada to Europe or Australia and looking for new ways into the U.S. Printing copper buying ahead of the tariff to send copper prices to an all-time high. Copper prices are now up 30% this year. Usually they're called copper professor copper because it's the metal that has the best I know of economic indicator qualities. So if it's true, which is the big question, that would be signaling an economic recovery, even a strong one in China. But is it really this time? That's what we're asking ourselves. I guess our take is that, you know, comes the second quarter, there'll be noise. There'll be noise in markets and politics. And this is where investors should really cut through it and cut the noise from the substance. Because there'll be a lot of approximation, a lot of exaggeration, especially on things like tariffs and taxes. Some will stress the impact of tariffs on inflation, while others will emphasize how tariffs make, let's say, U.S. manufacturers' cars more competitive. Another example, the idea that tariffs could soon replace taxes is entirely nonsensical if you look at some basic facts. U.S. tax revenues are currently $5 trillion, while U.S. import duties are a piddling $89 billion. Total U.S. goods imports, as I said before, are $3.5 trillion, and the federal government expenditures are $7 trillion. So, you know, do the math. To fund the government through tariffs instead of taxes, you'd need to raise universal tariffs not to 20%, but to 200%. But, of course, that's an entirely nonsensical idea, but these exaggerations, they cause noise and volatility.
Burkhard, this is very interesting. If noise drives volatility, where might investors look for buying opportunities? Because, after all, most corrections do create unique opportunities. Would that be fair to say?
You're absolutely right, of course. Tune into markets every day. Here are just three thoughts that I'd have for the second quarter. The first one, and this is a really important one, is we're still in the no recession camp. Despite consumers' bluesy mood, which we understand, productivity is still rising, rest assured. Necessity makes inventive, as far as I know. AI competition between China and the U.S., we view that as a clear positive. Most jobs and incomes remain in a good place. Baby boomers still have record high net worth. Most shopping is in services like health, travel, or entertainment. That's where travel tariffs has little impact. What's more, long yields are down, banks are doing great, and let's not forget, spring brings growth, as Peter Sellers, alias Chance the Gardener, famously said in his iconic movie, Being There, one of my all-time favorites, to the U.S. president. And meanwhile, back in Europe, where I'm dialing in from now, consumers actually have record savings, who would have thought, so like 15% savings rate in Germany, while Chinese consumers and businesses are getting a shot in the arm from the government. Take BYD, for example. Their share price is up 30% year to date. They are building a brand new EV gigafactory in Zhengzhou. That's roughly the size of San Francisco. That's 10 times the size of Tesla's Nevada factory. And they'll be producing 1 million EVs there. Yeah. But this is not what a recession looks like to me. So AI, energy, infrastructure, all these themes remain married at the hip and the shoulder and remain attractive to us. We discussed that just yesterday in our UBS House View discussion and confirmed our attractive view here. And we'd add service sectors like banks, health, and tourism, which are less affected by tariffs. And that's especially true in Asia and Europe. Their markets are up double digits. And look, they're on a roll. That's what I hear from some of their biggest investors, and they'll swing more.
Well, that's very encouraging, very helpful clarity there, Burkhard. Thank you for that. Meanwhile, we haven't yet talked about oil prices, the U.S. maximum pressure on Iran and Venezuela, as well as other geopolitical choke points, could send its prices higher. What's your take on oil in our time of disruption?
Well, they couldn't. You're right. This is a very important talking point. It seems to me the U.S. government has drawn a line in the sand here, and it also seems to me that it's keeping oil prices well in check for now. In any case, despite, or let me say, even with the secondary sanctions on Venezuela and maximum pressure on Iran, the oil market still looks very generously, even oversupplied to us. Demand really doesn't look like a challenge, at least not in the short term, not in the next quarter. And the U.S. administration clearly is laser focused on keeping oil prices low and falling. That was one of the central election campaign claims. And behind the geopolitical scenes, from everything I hear, all hands are really on deck to avoid unintended supply disruptions. They're talking to all OPEC members, and I'm confident that that'll hold. I'll be in Riyadh, by the way, next week. So let's see. Maybe I'll have more views or color from the ground to discuss once I'm back.
Well, definitely look forward to that, Burkhard, and thank you as always for your time and helpful perspectives you've shared with our listeners, our clients during today's podcast in times of heightened uncertainty. Fingers crossed that our clients can capture the opportunity and avoid the pitfalls of the noise of our time. Though, Burkhard, as always, great speaking with you, and do look forward to resuming our conversation again soon.
Thank you, Dan, for having me. Great speaking to you, as always. Looking very much forward to catching up again next week or next time we connect. Thank you for now.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.